Okay, well, if you got your Bibles, you can open with me to the book of Ephesians. And last week we got close to the end of the book of Ephesians as we spent the last few weeks talking about getting equipped so that we can no longer live as the Gentiles do. We talked about three different things. We talked about spiritual gifts, that spiritual gifts are those things that the Holy Spirit puts in us when we make Jesus the Lord of our lives and he comes and dwells within us as a deposit, guaranteeing that which is to come. He gives us spiritual gifts, and those spiritual gifts are to equip the body for works of service so that the whole body may be thoroughly mature and built up so that we may all attain to the fullness of the measure of Christ. And so those spiritual gifts help us to get equipped as we practice them, that we would have them and that we would use them. We need to be seeking God. If we don't know what they are, we need to be asking God, because he is the one who created us and he's the one whose Holy Spirit lives in us, giving us those gifts. So we need to ask him, what are the spiritual gifts that you've given me, that I may be able to use them so that I can get equipped as a follower of Christ and so that I can help others get equipped. Each time that we share our spiritual gifts or use our spiritual gifts, that encourages others to use their spiritual gifts as well. So that was the first thing we talked about in getting equipped. The second thing was the holy armor, or the armor of God. We talked about how we're in a spiritual battle. We're in a spiritual battle. There's one that's going on all the time around us, though we can't see it. And like I talked about a couple weeks ago with Daniel, when he began to pray one time, and we can find this in the book of Daniel, when he began to pray, that the angel Gabriel was sent from heaven to give him a message from the Lord. But this angel was interrupted in a battle that lasted for at least 3 weeks until the archangel Michael came and relieved Gabriel of the battle so that he could go and give the message to Daniel. Okay, there's a spiritual battle going on around us, and we need that spiritual armor, that armor that that God gives us. Like we read about in Ephesians chapter 6, he gives us that spiritual armor so that we can stand against the schemes of the enemy. Our struggle is not against one another, not against flesh and blood, but it's against the principalities and the evil rulers and all of that in the heavenly realms, those things that are trying to come against God himself. And yet in the midst of that, he gives us the spiritual armor so that we can stand firm. Standing firm in that peace, the helmet of salvation on our heads, so that we would see all the other people around us as God sees them, that we have been saved and God wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth, and that we would hold up that spiritual shield of faith, that we would hold that shield of faith up so that, as we talked about, that is the only thing that can extinguish those flaming darts, those temptations, those attacks of the enemy. That's the only thing that can extinguish them. Sometimes we catch them with the shield when we got it up. Sometimes we let our guard down and then one of those flaming arrows comes through and hits us. And we got to take it back out. We got to put it in that shield, because that's the only place that those arrows can get extinguished, is in that shield. We can't extinguish them with water. We got to extinguish them in the shield. And so that's part of getting equipped, is to make sure that we're daily going through and putting on that holy armor, that armor of God, so that we can be ready when the day of evil comes. And the third thing we talked about was to develop a regular practice of prayer. That we would be regularly spending time in prayer, seeking God, spending time with him, asking him for all kinds of things, but just spending time with him in prayer. That's what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6, to pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests, that we would continue to keep on praying for the Lord's people, that we may be built up, that we may be equipped, that we may ourselves get equipped and also practice for the days of evil that come in our lives. So that when the enemy, who looks our way, sees that we are equipped, when we're using our spiritual gifts, when we're spending time in prayer, practicing that prayer, that regular habit of prayer, spending time with the Lord, seeking him, asking him for things, thanking him for whatever it is that he's done for us, just for being who he is, declaring who he is, asking for healing, asking for wisdom, whatever the case may be that we're doing that brings us to that point of prayer, that we're spending that regular time in prayer and that we're wearing that holy armor. When the enemy looks our way, he's going to be like, that enemy who's a prowling lion looking for someone to devour. When he looks our way, he's going to be like, can't touch this. Can't touch this. Right? Yeah. And so we have those we have all of that to help us to get equipped to live a life worthy of the call. And so now we've arrived at the last few verses of the book of Ephesians. But I got to tell you, we aren't going to be talking about them today. You know, there's some other things the Holy Spirit was showing me that we need to go back and talk about before we wrap up this series. And so this week, if you can turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to be talking about specifically verse 32. But we're going to, for context, we're going to read starting in verse 29. So Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29 says this: "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice." Verse 32, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." Father, I thank you for this message that I get to give today. I pray, Lord, that you would open our hearts. God, that you would remove any hardness in them. I pray that you would help us to be sensitive to your Holy Spirit. Lord, would you speak through me in this message? And God, would you help us all of us, to know what it is that you want to say to us individually today? In Jesus' name, amen. The title of the message today: forgiveness is a reflection. Forgiveness is a reflection. We talked about how the moon reflects the light, so forgiveness is a reflection as well. Alexander Pope, the late 18th century British poet, is credited as the one who originally said this: "To err is human, to forgive, divine." As followers of Christ, our lives, though many times riddled with human error, some of us, pointing at myself, more than others, our lives, though, are to reflect Jesus himself. And with his Holy Spirit in us, we are able to work in partnership with the Spirit toward this end, so that our attitudes would be like that of Christ Jesus, as Paul said in Philippians 2. And this partnership with the Holy Spirit, it isn't just for those spiritual gifts, although that's a part of it. It's not just for being able to wield that holy armor, that armor of God, although that's a part of it. And it's not just that we would be able to pray the will of God, although that is also a part of it. But so that, when we look at the big picture, so that we can look more like him, exhibiting his characteristics through our lives and having them become more a part of how we live today than out of our natural tendencies. Therefore, as Paul says in Ephesians 5 and verse 1, we are to follow God's example. The NASB translation says it this way: be imitators of God. Is it possible to imitate God? Well, that's why we need the Holy Spirit, so that we can be imitators of God. So that why? So that we would no longer live as the Gentiles, as the Americans do. And so that what is of the divine, what is truly divine of Jesus himself, can be manifested through our lives. That potential, like we talked about, becoming active in our lives, like the child on the swing being released, that energy, that active energy, those manifestations of the Spirit will become active in our lives. And this includes, church, forgiveness. Forgiveness. What is forgiveness? Well, the dictionary defines forgiveness as a decision to no longer feel resentment or anger towards someone who has hurt or offended you. A decision to no longer feel resentment or anger towards someone who has offended you. I like how it says that. We make a decision to no longer feel that way. I believe that many would think that they don't have control over their own feelings. I would agree that I can feel that way as well. And I can believe that. Although it's not true, I can believe that. But the statement, and it's coming from a secular dictionary, mind you, states that people can make that decision. And in that context, states this is what encompasses forgiveness. That's not so bad. It's not such a bad definition for a secular dictionary. Right? But we understand that it takes more than just being able to make that decision. We need that partnership of the Holy Spirit as a believer to truly forgive someone. Let's look at that Greek word for forgive in Ephesians 4 and verse 32. The Greek word for forgive there means to bestow in kindness or to grant as a free favor, to forgive. And so the essence of forgiveness, what we get from this, the essence of forgiveness is this. It's to give someone what they don't deserve by letting them off the hook for what they have done and no longer holding it against them. To give someone what they don't deserve by letting them off the hook for what they have done, they've done something, they've caused an offense or hurt, and no longer holding it against them. An opportunity to practice this a little over a week ago on Black Friday. We were up in Grand Forks visiting Kelly's family, Grand Forks, North Dakota, and we were out on Black Friday moving, going from one store to another, and I was following my in-laws in their vehicle, and we were at an intersection, and they turned out onto the main road, and I looked back because I was thinking I was going to go too, and I saw a car coming, and so I stopped, still in this turn lane, and all of a sudden we feel this wham behind us. We feel it. It hits us. I was like, oh, man, I just got in a car accident. I was standing still, or I was sitting still in my car. And I hop out of the car, and I walk around, and I see this sporty little blue Honda car behind me. And the gentleman who gets out, probably about the same age as I am, I got a teenage daughter in the front seat. He's like, oh, I'm so sorry. I thought you were still going to go. It's like, we're just in town. We're on our way to see a hockey game. My daughter's going to, just so sorry that he hit my car. And I look at the front bumper of his car, and the grill, because it's kind of sporty, like I said, it's got like maybe a little fin that sticks out, and that fin must have hit my bumper and got pushed in. And so I see this big old crack about a foot long going down and then turning around and coming back around that piece of the fin of the grill. And I turn and I look at my van, and all I see is about 2 inches long, a stretch that doesn't have any paint on it anymore on my bumper. No dings, no dents. And as I'm going through this, and he's saying, well, do you want to exchange information? As I'm going through this, I'm remembering this message that I'm giving you to you guys today. I'm remembering this message, and I'm thinking about what the essence of forgiveness is. To give someone what they don't deserve by letting them off the hook for what they've done and no longer holding it against them. I had full right to say, yep, let's exchange information. I'm going to send this to my insurance company. But because of this message, and maybe I would have done it anyway, I don't know. But because of this message, it helped me to think about that. And I think it's so cool. God always uses what we go through. That as we read the word and as we apply it to our lives, he always gives us applications for what his word is telling us, doesn't he? Yeah. On a more serious note, we see this essence of forgiveness modeled by Jesus Christ while he's hanging on the cross. He's been whipped with that cat of nine tails. It's got those little pieces of glass and shards of rock in it. And if you've seen the movie The Passion of the Christ, they depict it pretty well, in my understanding. Whipped, beaten, spit on, mocked. Hanging there on the cross, impaled in his hands and his feet by nails that were probably not sanitary, slouching because of the weight and all the things that have already been done to his body, yet pushing himself up on that nail that goes through his feet to get a breath before slouching down again. Hurt in so many different ways, And if that wasn't enough, to bear the weight of all the sins of the entire world from the time that Adam and Eve sinned to the 8.1 billion people living today who are sinning today in one way or another, all 8.1 billion people sinning in however many other days until he comes back again, the weight of all of the sin of all of the world on his shoulders, and he pushes himself up and he cries out to God, our Father. And he says this in Luke 23 and 34. He says, Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. They do not know what they are doing. That word for forgive there that Jesus uses, a different word than Ephesians has, but it means pardon. Father, pardon them. In a court of law, when someone is pardoned, their offense is excused. It's canceled with no further payback required. But it doesn't mean that they are proven innocent. That's what acquitted is. When you're acquitted, you're proven innocent after the charges come against you. When you're pardoned, there's still been an offense, but it's excused. You are no longer held accountable for your offense when you're pardoned. And this, friends, is what Jesus did for us on the cross. He pardoned the guilty. Did you know that you were guilty of an offense? I also guilty of an offense. You know why I know that? Not because I got a camera on your life or something like that, but because the Bible says in the book of Romans, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And I know that all includes me, as it includes you, sorry to say. And yet, Jesus came to pardon us, you and I, the innocent for the guilty. And being God, he has the authority, like a judge in a court, to remove that charge against us, clearing our record and setting us free in Christ. Here's a point today. Forgiveness is what God gives us. Forgiveness is what God gives us. And this is what we are to do as well. In the parable of the unmerciful servant, Matthew 18 and verse 23, a servant is brought before a king and required to pay his debts, which we find out are 10,000 talents. Now in the NIV, that's translated 10,000 bags of gold. 10,000 bags of gold. Okay, I can't imagine how much one bag of gold would be, but you multiply that by 10,000 and you begin to get a picture that this amount that this guy had to pay back was more than he could probably ever hope to earn in his life, let alone pay back. I'm not sure how a man could have accrued such debt. But the point here is not how he did, but rather that there was just no way to pay it back, though he begged to do so, if only he had more time. And I equate this mentality to like what we do as people today. We try to earn our salvation, or we try to pay back God for all the wrongs that we have committed, living in guilt and shame as we work hard at trying to earn his favor, trying to pay him back. Maybe the things that you and I do today is as a result of, I just feel like I have to do this because I have to pay him back for what he did for me. But friends, that's not to be the focus of our lives. That's not to be the focus of our ministry. And if it is, I've got to tell you, we're going to weary ourselves out. Because the truth is, we can't. We can't ever expect to be able to pay him back. This is why we needed to pardon. To be released from the stain of our sin, this is why we needed forgiveness. The king in the parable, looking at his servant, begging him for more time, Jesus said this about him. He said that the king took pity on the servant, canceled the debt, and let him go. Can you imagine having so large a debt to someone else in this world that you could know there would be, you could never repay it? You could never repay it. And then the person that you owe the debt to completely then canceling it and letting you off the hook. What do you think your life would look like after? Would it look any different? Other than breathing a big sigh of relief? Whew. That's prayer, by the way. That's prayer. Would it look different? Would you live differently? In light of the mercy that you received, the forgiveness. Well, unfortunately for this unmerciful servant, that's why he's called the unmerciful servant, his life didn't change after. He didn't show mercy after he had received mercy. It says that he refused. He refused to give mercy to someone else who owed him just a few bucks. Okay? And because he continued in that, he resumed that debt that had been canceled. And Jesus tells us this in Matthew 18 and 35 at the end of that parable. He says this. He says, "This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you." That's harsh. "This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless." I didn't give you the whole thing. Unless. I love this about God. God is absolutely just. And he is also absolutely grace and mercy together as one. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord, for that. "This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive," or pardon, that's the Greek word there, "pardon your brother from your heart or your sister." Meaning you cancel the anger, the resentment, the right that you feel that you have to hold that against them, and you let them off the hook for anything that you think they may owe you now or in the future. This, friends, is the kind of cancel culture we should have in the body of Christ, as Jesus canceled the charge of sin against each of those who come to him in repentance and surrender. For each believer, then, each follower of Christ, we are to cancel the debts of those who have wronged us and to let the guilty party off the hook. To do what Paul said in Colossians 3 and verse 13. "Bear with each other and to forgive one another if any of you have a grievance," in other words, complaint, "against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you." That parable of the unmerciful servant follows Simon Peter, the disciple, Simon Peter, asking Jesus how many times should he forgive his brother who sins against him. Peter asks this question and then offers up a possible answer and says, up to seven times? Up to seven times? Scholars think that he thought he was being generous by saying that. Up to seven times? I'm just going to throw a number out there for you, Jesus. All the other disciples are going, "Oh, wow. That is a lot of times," okay? But Jesus responds to Simon Peter in Matthew 18:22 when he says, "Not seven times, but 77 times." Here's a point. Forgiveness is what we are to give others. Did you in elementary school maybe have your teacher gave you a bigger word and you had to try to find how many other words you could pull out of the letters of that one word? Did you ever have that? Yeah. That's kind of what we're doing today with the word forgiveness. You see the word give inside there? Inside forgiveness? Forgiveness is what God gave us. And it's what we are to give others. Not just to give them. Give that to them, but to give it generously. Like we talked about in the spiritual discipline of being generous earlier this year, how many are still practicing their spiritual discipline of being generous? I mean, just spiritual disciplines? Just any one of them? Okay. being generous, we talked about that spiritual discipline, doesn't just mean with our finances, okay? We talked about that. It doesn't just mean with our time. Our time is valuable. When we give our time to others, we're being generous with our time. It doesn't just mean our resources, our possessions, the things that we own, the things that we share with others, the things that we would give to others. It doesn't just mean that in generosity. But in the act of forgiveness towards others, we are to be generous. As many times as need be given. There's a person in our town who I've experienced some hurt, some offense from over the past few years. Whether intentionally or unintentionally, I can't speak to that. But I do know that each time I pass by this person or am reminded of them now, the feelings try to rush back. And I can relive that hurt again and again as if this person was hurting me anew. But praise God. Just about every time that I start to feel this way, I hear the voice of the one who searches our hearts ask me this: John, do you still love this person? And I say, yes. Yes, I do. And I have forgiven them. And I'm forgiving them again. It's not easy, though, is it? If you think forgiveness is hard for you to give, let me tell you Kevin Ramsby's story. Kevin Ramsby is a pastor in the city of Detroit and has been a pastor for the last 24 years. In 2009, there was an intruder that broke into Kevin Ramsby's house. This intruder was high on crack cocaine, and in the fight that ensued, stabbed Kevin Ramsby 37 times. 37 times he stabbed him, and left him for dead on a pool of his own blood on the floor there. Now, by a miracle, Kevin survived this attack. But the effects of the attack brought overwhelming mental, emotional, spiritual, financial, relational turmoil, and led him to the point of contemplating suicide. And in the midst of it, as a believer, he struggled to forgive. And in anger, he said, many times thought about vengeance, he fantasized about getting revenge. You ever done that? Like when someone hurts you or someone offends you, your mind begins to think of ways that you can get them back for that? Oh, I'm going to get my sweet revenge, right? I know I have. Maybe not in those words. In the article I read about this pastor Kevin, it says this: in his darkest moment, a counselor revealed a transformative truth. Overcoming trauma requires an experiential forgiveness greater than the pain endured. Overcoming trauma in our lives requires an experiential forgiveness that's greater than that pain that came. Kevin sought forgiveness, surpassing his scar-inducing home invasion, and along the way, the Holy Spirit unveiled that unforgiveness toward his attacker was entangled with bitterness toward his mother, who had left the home 15 years prior to the attack. And let's do a little math today. Kevin Ramsby's been a pastor for 24 years. That means he became a pastor in 1999. It's 24 years, 1999, okay? In 2009 is when the attack happened, 10 years after he became a pastor. 15 years prior to that was when his mom left the home. So that means 1994. It means that 5 years before Pastor Kevin became a pastor, he was already carrying unforgiveness with him. And this unforgiveness compiled. When we don't forgive somebody, unforgiveness compiles. And it compiles and it adds on and it adds on. And it makes it more difficult to forgive somebody else who's done something to us. Okay? Here's the point. Forgiveness is for us. Lewis Smedes the American Christian theologian from the 1900s. That sounds like such a long time ago, 1900s. It's only 23 years ago. But anyway, Lewis Meade said this: to forgive is to set a prisoner free and to discover that that prisoner was you. To forgive is to set a prisoner free and discover that that prisoner was you. We may think if we forgive someone, we're only letting them off the hook. And then we got to deal then with the hurt and the pain and the offense ourselves. Okay? But the truth of the matter is, when we forgive, we set ourselves free from the hurt, or from the prison, rather. We set ourselves free from the prison that we put ourselves in when we experience that hurt and that pain to begin with. I want you to know today that Kevin Ramsby and his attacker have reconciled. They're even friends. And Pastor Kevin has started a ministry called the Forgiveness Experience, which has helped hundreds of thousands of prison inmates and churchgoers just like you and me to be able to forgive and to move forward in life in a new freedom. Praise God for that. Praise God. Because that's what Jesus came to do. He came to set us free. Luke 4 and verse 18. Jesus is quoting from the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. He's sitting in a synagogue with all these Jewish people sitting around him. And he's opening the scroll of Isaiah and he begins to read out of the book of Isaiah, the scroll of Isaiah. And he says this in Luke 4 and verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Jesus came to set the oppressed free, to set the captives free, to proclaim freedom for the prisoners. Hallelujah. And then he rolls up that scroll. And the scriptures say in Luke 4 there that all the eyes of everybody in that area, in that synagogue, were fixed on him. And he says this in verse 21 of Luke 4. He says, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Meaning, he, Jesus Christ, is fulfilling this scripture today. Praise God. And through the cross, he shows you and I the essence of forgiveness. Here's our main point today. Forgiveness reflects the divine to the world. Forgiveness reflects the divine, reflects Jesus to the world. Anyone in this world can find themselves practicing unforgiveness. But to forgive takes an act of grace from our hearts that comes from an act of grace first given to us in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Maybe you're here today and you're listening to the story about how Jesus forgives us. He shows us the essence of forgiveness. But maybe you'd say, I've never experienced that forgiveness before. I haven't received or I haven't experienced that grace, that act of grace that Jesus did for me on the cross. I haven't done that because I haven't made him yet the Lord and the Savior of my life. With everyone's eyes closed today, I'm just going to ask you that question. Have you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? Have you chosen to lay down the right you have to yourself, to give him lordship over your life, to surrender your will to his, to be that living sacrifice? Have you chosen to turn away from your sin, repent from it, and turn to him, and allow him to cover you with his grace, and to receive that forgiveness that you and I could never hope to earn? And it's the only way that we could ever be free of that debt. If that's you today, I want to pray a prayer with you. If you're ready to make that decision today, pray this prayer, something like this from your heart. Make it in your own words if you want to. We're gonna declare that Jesus is Lord. We're going to confess our sins. We're going to ask him to come into our heart. That's all we got to do. The Bible says, we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God has raised him from the dead, we will be saved. And if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if for anyone that is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. And so we say this: Jesus Christ is Lord. You are Lord of my life. You are Lord of this world. Jesus Christ is Lord. And we say, Father, I know that I'm a sinner. I've done what's evil in your sight. Please forgive me. Please wash me clean. And then we ask him to come into our hearts. Lord Jesus, I invite you to come into my heart, to cleanse everything in there that's not of you, to make me a new creation. And then we thank him for that, church. We thank him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for making me new. Thank you for redeeming me from my sin. Thank you for your forgiveness that I could not earn on my own. Thank you for your grace, Lord. The grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your grace. God, help me to keep my eyes on your grace. Praise God. That was you today. You've been made new. You have been forgiven. You have received this act of grace. Praise God. Make sure you get into the Bible. If you don't have one, get one. Whether it's on your phone or get a paper copy, whatever the case may be. Read the book of Ephesians. It talks about who it is that you are in Christ. How we get equipped. How we no longer live like the world lives. That's all part of it. Read the book of John, the Gospel of John, the fourth book of the New Testament. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, and whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. That's true of you. That's true of me. Praise God. Spend time with other believers. Spend time in prayer. Practice that discipline of prayer. Enjoy praying to the Lord throughout the day. Like Ephesians 6 says, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Pray. Spend time with him. Get to know your Savior. As we close today, our vision statement that God gave Friendship Church is being transformed, moving in unity, reaching our communities. Forgiveness allows the transformative work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. When we forgive others, we can experience that transformative work in our lives. We become more free. We're able to live more free for Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Forgiveness toward each other in the body brings unity. It brings unity. Okay, so that we can move together as one body. Unity is not uniformity, though. Okay? We'll do things differently, we'll think differently, we'll say things differently, and praise God for that. What that unity does, that moving in unity, is it brings all of us different people together. Like my brother's shirt says, the shirt that my brother has, it says, you are all unique, just like everybody else. But it brings all us different people together because we rally around Jesus Christ. That's how we're able to work with the other churches in our area too. Those churches that believe that Jesus Christ is Lord and that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father except through him. In the essentials, unity. In the essentials, unity. In the non-essentials, liberty. That's how come we can work together. Praise God. And forgiveness is a testimony that we share with the community that we reach out to. Okay? Like Kevin Ramsby's story. His story of that forgiveness, that he was able to forgive his attacker and everything that happened there. He was able to forgive him. Man, that led to a lot of other people getting free and receiving that forgiveness and forgiving other people as well. Forgiveness is a big part of what God wants to build our lives off of here at Friendship. So how do you live? Is there someone that you need to forgive today? Don't keep yourself as a prisoner anymore. Choose to forgive them. Or maybe you'd say, I've been trying to earn my forgiveness, to pay back the guilt of what I've done, to pay back God for all the wrongs that I've done. Or maybe I can't forgive myself. That's you today. I want to pray with you as well. Father, I thank you for this message. I thank you for what you are doing as a result of this message in our hearts, God. I thank you that you are maybe exposing things. And so, Lord, we just pray, if there's anybody today that we need to forgive, God, would you search our hearts? Would you help us to know who that is so that we can declare that we forgive them today? If there's someone that you need to forgive today, I just want you to make that declaration right now and say, Father, I forgive so-and-so. Father, I forgive this person for what they've done. I choose to forgive them. I choose to no longer feel anger or resentment toward them. I choose to forgive them. They're forgiven. And I'm free. Praise God. Or maybe you're trying to earn your forgiveness, to pay back God for that guilt. Father, if that's us today, if that's anybody here today, Lord, I just pray. God, if there's something that I'm trying to do, if the work that I am doing for you is out of guilt and out of shame, Lord, I'm going to weary myself out if I haven't already. And so I confess those things to you today. I confess that there's nothing that I can do to earn my pardon. And I receive it today. I receive your pardon today. Thank you, Lord, for canceling that debt that is against me. Thank you, Lord. I receive your forgiveness today. And Lord, if I'm having a hard time forgiving myself, I choose to forgive myself today. I choose to no longer hold all of those things that I know that I've ever said, thought, or done wrong. I'm choosing today to no longer hold those things against me. Because God, I've given it to you. I've received your forgiveness. And your forgiveness is complete. Your forgiveness is greater than my own toward myself. And so I just confess. And I choose to forgive myself. And I'm not going to hold it against myself any longer. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. I believe that the Lord was doing some good work in our heart today. Allow that work to continue. That we would carry out of this place those things that he did in our hearts today in this place. God bless you. Forgive that you may be free, and that you may reflect Jesus to the world.